going now to talk about all of this after camp finishes, have an opportunity. Don't get to talk to him very often, so very nice to have an opportunity to talk to our Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Follow him on Twitter, at Troy Rank, and of course, at Denver 7. Troy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Sean. Good to be here.
Yeah, looking at this minicamp wrapping up, I was just talking about the notion that given the way that this team is structured, it's defense first, it's very highly paid on defense, most of the veterans are on defense, and Vic Fangio is a defensive-minded coach. Is this quarterback competition truly even?
Yeah, I mean, it's open because of the differences between the two. I've said this, Drew Lock has a higher ceiling than Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater has a significantly higher floor than Drew. And that's where they're trying to find out. Is there somewhere in between there they can find their quarterback? Early in the season, I think you can win with Teddy Bridgewater playing conservatively, just essentially operating as a game manager. When you play the Giants, Jaguars, and Jets, anything less than 2-1 in that stretch would be catastrophic as it relates to, you know, winning record and making the playoffs. After that, you know, they're going to get into games where you can't win with just defense. And that's where it would get curious, is would Teddy be too conservative that they feel like, yeah, he doesn't throw any interceptions, but he doesn't throw any touchdowns either. That's where it's still open, but it was very telling, Sean, that Drew Lock is the incumbent, had no advantage. I mean, they brought in Teddy. They said they're open. George Payton knows he can win with Teddy Bridgewater. That's why I've said all along I give Teddy a slight nod. When I asked Pat Shermer about it, in a world of cold, sterile statistics and how, you know, we see sports differently now with numbers, how does he evaluate it? And he said, of course, you have the objective statistics, but the subjective issues of what does it look like? What does the offense look like when the quarterback's in there? Are players play better when he's in there? Are they more in rhythm? And if they make a mistake, either the offense or the quarterback, does it ruin the drive or is it something you can overcome? That's where, again, I just think Teddy would have a slight advantage right now, because when Drew won Tuesday and then Wednesday he threw a pick six to Justin Simmons. That's what Drew has fought, is just the consistency. His highs are amazing. At Houston a couple years ago, at Carolina, against the Chargers in the comeback victory. But his lows, you know, at Vegas, against the Raiders, against the Chiefs last year, against the Bills, the lows have been, you know, Grand Canyon. And somehow he's got to, again, get to the point where he's just more consistent if he's going to win this job.
How much better do you think Drew Lock looked from the end of last year to what you saw in minicamp? Is he looked like the same guy, or does he look like the guy that has transformed into a player that could be an explosive offensive leader?
He's gotten better. He's changed some slight stuff with his footwork and how he receives the snap in the shotgun. You can tell he's watched more film in terms of how he's trying to get through his progressions. And so there's slight improvement there. The issue with Drew is, though, 11-on-11 in pads, in training camp, can he process information quickly enough to get rid of the ball? Because while I've seen some really good plays from Drew this offseason that signify and signal improvement, I've seen him holding onto the ball and becoming a little bit robotic and pressing, you know, not wanting to make the wrong read. So it's like, let's check one, there's two, there's three, that, oh, I don't want to throw it away. And then he just, you know, you could see like, well, that's going to be a sack. You know, like, so you don't want him paralyzed to the point where he can't be an athlete in terms of paralyzed by his thinking. But I have seen some improvement. He's changed his diet. He's worked hard. He's completely bought into the idea that if you're going to be a starting NFL quarterback, you got to eat it, sleep it, breathe it. And he worked hard before. I just don't think he realized the nature of the beast that is being the quarterback of the Broncos and the quarterback of the NFL in some ways. But he's gotten better, you know. And, again, could he win the job? He could. He could go out there and play great in the preseason and not turn the ball over. And his upside would say, okay, he's our guy. But, again, for Drew, it's really about accuracy and turnovers. Both those have to improve dramatically in the first 2.5-3 weeks of training camp for him to win.
Talking with our Broncos insider, Troy Rank, and when we look at Teddy Bridgewater, for example, we know there's familiarity with George Payton. We know there's familiarity with Pat Shermer. Shermer on Wednesday talked him up as a veteran and said he's much better than when I worked with him. Either way, we kind of know what Bridgewater's ceiling is, like you said. But if you're Vic Fangio and you need to win a game today, because we're talking about a coach that hasn't won a game in September at all as leader of the Broncos, How more likely in Vic Fangio's shoes, even if Drew Lock's approved, but you're not willing to take those gambles like you discussed with Lock, how much does that factor into this decision between Bridgewater and Lock?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, Coach Fangio said that what we've seen this offseason with 10 OTA practices and 2 minicamp practices amounted to 2 to 3% of the evaluation. I don't believe that. And, you know, as someone who, you know, I coached for 15 years youth sports, and I grew up, you know, in a household where my dad was a coach. When you say that that stuff really doesn't matter, it all matters. Because what happens is if you see something bad and then you see it early in training camp, it only reinforces it. You can't pretend that these 12 practices existed in a vacuum and then they suddenly, you know, just don't jog your memory or they don't infiltrate your memory. But in the case of Vic Fangio, your point is valid. He's 0-7 in September. They haven't been over 500 one day that he's been the coach of the Broncos in 2 years. I don't know, and I've tried to find this out, but it's very, very rare in modern sports, in any sport, where a manager or coach would start with a losing record in his first 3 seasons, especially a first-time head coach, and survive. I mean, it's almost unprecedented that if you're a first-time head coach, have a losing record 3 straight years to begin your career, that you won't get fired. So that does figure into it. I mean, and Vic knows they have to get off to a good start. He isn't dismissing that idea, and that's what you look at. What is a good start? I mean, can you beat the Giants 20-17, taking care of the football? Can you beat the Jaguars, you know, an ugly game? Can you beat the Jets at home? I mean, I think either quarterback can frankly beat the Jets, but that's what something he has to consider, because the back end of that schedule, as easily as you could see them going 3-0 to start the season, Sean, you could easily see them going 0-3 to finish the season. And that's why a fast start is imperative. I think they're a 9-18 based on their schedule. Their home schedule is comically easy. You know, a bunch of cupcakes, unfortunately. Those opponents view the Broncos as a pastry as well, because they've stunk the last 4 years. But I do think it figures into Coach Fangio's thinking that if they need to win those first 3 games, at least 2 of them, the quarterback that's taking care of the ball is going to be the guy in there, because I know Fangio knows he'll believe he can win an ugly game with his defense.
So that, I mean, that's really it, isn't it? I mean, Fangio's primary thing is going to be, like you said, ball security. Don't make mistakes. And that's an interesting point you've made about that really easy home schedule. And that actually just puts more pressure on Fangio to win. If the schedule is easy, he's expected to win those games, and that may mean he's less likely to take chances. But besides the quarterback, Troy, though, you look around this roster, they're really, for a team that's had missed the playoffs for the last 5 years, they really don't have a lot of starting positions up for grabs. It's more or less cemented, except for right tackle, and we know it's going to be one of 2 guys, except for perhaps Baron Browning makes a big push at middle linebacker. Does that mean this team is really close to competing, or does that mean that perhaps the Broncos have been overrating the talent?
Well, defensively, they're a playoff caliber defense right now, even if some guys don't meet expectations, because their secondary, there's 6 guys with Surtain, Fuller, Darby, Callahan, Kareem Jackson, and Justin Simmons. Those 6 guys can match up really against anyone in the league. I mean, it can't be great, though, unless they get takeaways. And again, part of that's a function of the offense. But the one thing about the defense, Sean, is with Darby and with Surtain and with Callahan healthy, if, you know, now however many games that is, they can play more man now than they have with Vic Fangio. And he admitted that to me. They could blitz a little more, or even if they blitz the same frequency as last season, that could allow them to get turnovers in games where they're down 7-3 or 10-3, where they've really struggled with that. They have 33 takeaways in 2 years under Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio's last defense in Chicago had 36 takeaways, 3 more in 1 year than they've had in 2 years. That's got to change. In part, it's the reason the defense gets stagnant, though, is the Broncos are 1-15 when trailing at halftime the last 2 years. The teams don't take chances. So you take Bradley Chubb and Von Miller out of the game. I mean, you go back to the one game Bradley Chubb looked like clearly the best player on the field. Oh, the Jets game, when the Jets got behind and had to pass, all of a sudden Chubb looks like, you know, this guy's unstoppable. And that's what they need to get even with teams, or heaven forbid, have a lead going into the fourth quarter, so Von Miller and Bradley Chubb can go to work, and you can get takeaways from that secondary. But you're right. Does it mean they're close? The hard part of that question is defensively, they're not close. They're there for the most part. They lack some depth on the defensive line, and they're going to have to figure out if Justin Sternad or Baron Browning can play a niche role in coverage at linebacker. Those are really the questions on defense. Offensively, they're just intriguing. They have potential, but potential gets coaches fired at the professional level. So can Noah Fant take that next step where he's 6-7 touchdown season? Can Jerry Jeudy, who's been the best player in this offseason when we've been able to view the five practices, can he have the season I think he's going to have? Can Cortland Sutton stay healthy this year? I mean, there's just a lot of ifs. And Cushenberry has to play significantly better at center. Glasgow has to play significantly better at right guard. Dalton Reisner, I think, was hurt last year more than he let on with his shoulder. He needs to have, not a bounce back year, but just be able to stay healthy. So that's why when they say offensively, they're going to be so good. Well, again, they have potential to be good, but you can't claim that you're a good offense when you score 20 points a game in the current NFL. You're not. You're a terrible offense. You're bottom five. So until they get to 23, 25 points a game, we can't say they're close. They're close. Defensively, they're there. But I'm not going to say they're close offensively until they prove it. I don't, you know, you can't keep talking about if. They've got to go out and do it. You got to go out and win the first game. Go win that game 27-13. Go beat the Jaguars 30-10. Then he was like, okay, now we got something. But if you're trying to win 17-14 in the current NFL, good luck. Let me know how that works out.
He is Troy Rank. Follow him on Twitter at Troy Rank. And of course, check him out on Denver 7. But give him a follow on Twitter because he's got a lot going on with the podcast and a whole bunch of other things too, as well as working right here with the fans. So I appreciate it. I don't want to hold you up for your weekend any longer. Thanks so much for the time, Troy.
Always great to be on with you, Sean. Take care, my man.
All right. Thank you. Troy Rank joining us tonight. And he made up a very, very good point at the end there that I want to touch on briefly. The Broncos offense is potential. Now, I really like the potential. I imagine most of us like the potential. There are reasons to like the potential. But it is potential. And he pointed out, okay, try to get to 23, 24, 25 points a game. Okay, that would be good. And that's a big jump, right? If you're at 20 and you get to 25 points a game, your offense improved by 25%. That's a big leap from year to year. Could it be done? Good. But last year in the AFC, the average playoff team had scored essentially 27.5 points. Even more than that. The Broncos have to get about 40% better to even look like a playoff team. Now, they think that they can cover that, naturally, because their defense will knock the other teams down in scoring. And if that's the case, then yes. You do not have to score that many points. But that's a big if. Troy hit it right on the head. You can't win 17-14 with regularity in today's NFL. Just doesn't happen. So the improvement for the Broncos needs to be real. And this is Drew Lock's opportunity. Teddy Bridgewater is not the guy to take your offense and make it a touchdown a game better. He's not. He can make it safer. He's going to make fewer mistakes. But he's not the guy that's going to improve this offense by a touchdown a game. That is only Drew Lock. He's the only guy on the roster that can do it. So it is here for him. Drew Lock has this job in his hands if he wants it. The moment he has to take it. The Broncos want him to take it. They need him to take it. Vic Fangio needs him to take it. Even if right now, he's not really sure he does. The injuries that the Broncos suffered, obviously, for a lot of fans, covered a lot of the problems and made it feel like, well, they were better than this, but the injuries. Well, every team deals with injuries. The Broncos had more depth at certain positions, but now, look, they're getting healthy. What does that mean for some of the units on these team, on some of these team here? When Bradley Chubb comes back, when Cortland Sutton comes back, when Von Miller comes back, how does it change the Broncos? We'll talk about it next.